The resistance of some European nations to the Bush administration's position on Iraq has provoked a torrent of anti-European commentary in the press, a great deal of it directed at the French. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has been listening to all the French bashing and the peculiar vocabulary that some writers reserve for talking about the French.
As I read through recent commentaries on European responses to U.S. policy on Iraq, I keep running into the adjective Gallic. The great dismal fog of Gallic anti-Americanism, the duplicities of Gallic diplomacy, Gallic intransigence on Iraq. An op-ed piece in the Los Angeles Times described the French Foreign Minister Dominique de Villepin as displaying a Gallic insouciance to Colin Powell's presentation before the Security Council. And at least three other columns describe the French reaction to the speech as a Gallic shrug. It's an odd word, one of a handful of fanciful adjectives like Hibernian for the Irish, Caledonian for the Scots, and Teutonic for the Germans, words that journalists keep handy to conjure up a familiar national stereotype. The cluster of nouns that gravitate toward Gallic suggests the mix of infatuation and exasperation that the French always invoke for us. Phrases like Gallic charm and Gallic flair are paired with Gallic rudeness and Gallic arrogance, and of course those Gallic shrugs, a phrase that turns up almost 700 times in the Nexus newspaper databases. And then there's Gallic logic. As far as I can tell, the French are the only people we credit with having a national logic of their own. But one way or another, Gallic always goes with character traits. You don't see people talking about Gallic aircraft carriers or Gallic pharmaceutical companies. According to Edward Knox, a professor at Middlebury who's studied the way France is reported in the American press, Gallic isn't really a synonym for French at all. It's more like shorthand for the French are at it again. Gallic is just one of the special words that journalists have consecrated to the French. In press stories, the French are always fuming about something or other, and where other people say things, the French sniff them, as in, "We were not informed of the decision," the minister sniffed. In fact, the adjective sniffy is another favorite here, and the French are described as snooty even more often than the English are. In the American press, the Frenchman is a character who's guided by his nose, whereas the German is a character who's led by it. Journalists have been dining out on these turns of phrase since Mark Twain's time, but it's striking how readily they come up when the French are proving obstinate over American policy. You don't often hear Teutonic used in the same way to describe the Germans' reluctance to go along. Not long ago, the London Times columnist Michael Gove suggested that the Germans' present pacifism grows out of a historic weakness in the German character, of the same sort that led to Hitlerism. But most Americans would see that as a stretch. Whatever annoyance they may feel about the German position, they don't feel the need to connect it to Colonel Klink. One reason why journalists single out the French is just because they can. The French happen to be one of the few European nationalities who don't have an American constituency to look out for their interests. You wonder how commentators would have reacted if the Italians had sided with the French and the Germans in opposing American policy on Iraq. I doubt they'd be bringing up the Italian reputation for military faint-heartedness the way Representative Peter King did with the French when he suggested that they could go to Baghdad to instruct the Iraqis in how to surrender. And you can be sure that critics wouldn't be throwing around epithets like wops and dagos the way they have with frogs. True, the French have an annoying habit of vaunting their sense of cultural superiority to Americans. But the Italians, Germans, and English have exactly the same condescending attitude. Though, as with the French, it's usually mixed with a genuine affection for the engaging upstarts of the New World. If there's a difference between the French and the others, it has more to do with an ambivalence about the cachet that French culture still has in this country. Often you sense that the animus is directed less at the French than at Francophiles, the people the right likes to describe as the Chablis and Brie set. It brings to mind what Mark Twain said in The Innocents Abroad about the Frenchified American he runs into in a Venice hotel, sporting a rose in his buttonhole and calling Paris, Paris. Oh, it is pitiable to see him making of himself a thing that is neither male nor female, neither fish, flesh, nor fowl, a poor, miserable, hermaphrodite Frenchman. You could hear that same disdain for the American Francophiles in a recent National Review piece by the conservative columnist Victor Davis Hanson. As he put it, Heartland Americans, far from being deprived yokels, have a clearer appreciation of the quite profound amorality in Europe than anybody in the Ivy League. But it was notable that Hansen couldn't get out of that commentary without throwing in an indignant mon Dieu. In fact, whenever you see the word Gaelic in a story, it's dollars to beignets, it will be followed by a phrase like tête-à-tête, or je ne sais quoi, or vive la différence, just so the writers can make it clear that they aren't deprived yokels themselves. As the critics of the French are always making a point of saying, believe me, I've been there. That's why French bashing is a perennially satisfying exercise. It permits you to take a stick to the decadent European wussiness of your compatriots while at the same time making a show of your own cosmopolitan savoir-faire. A pity the French are so given to Gallic touchiness, or they'd see it all for the tribute it really is.
Jeff Nunberg is a fellow at the Stanford Humanities Center and the author of the book The Way We Talk Now. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Patty Leswing, Ian Chillog, and Jessica Chu. Sue Spolin directed the show. I'm Terry Gross.